listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Remember when you said you would die for me? Shit, all of that was just lies to me. Motherfucker should have never said bye to me. Now you cry for me like Joe to see. It's like that, y'all. My nigga hit another bitch from the back, y'all. Black Nasty and Mad Fat, y'all. Should have seen the whole nigga pack your shit. You out the dough. Oh, what about the fight in the Mirage? I seen your Benz parked outside my sister's garage. Said it was your friend Raj. Bullshit. I ain't gonna keep putting up with the bullshit. It's still lie. Never sweat these bitches who be hanging like plaques on the wall in your pictures. Scaling fishes. My love is concrete. Stashing your heat in the passenger seat of the Nautica Jeep. We've been down for so long. Still a bitch like me trying to hold on. Teary eyed. Damn a bitch steaming. Girl steady screaming. Kim, you need to leave him. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Monday. That's correct. It is Monday. ready to do some podcasting, of course. Got all kinds of stuff to get into today. The day before everybody getting out and going to vote, hopefully.
If you ain't already early voted.
Yeah, if you haven't already early voted, hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah, which I thought every state did this, but apparently some states are like, fuck that, only election day, and it's not a national holiday, and all jobs don't pay for you to go. So,
well, you knew all that stuff. You might not knew everybody couldn't vote on the same day, but
no, I know I didn't know. I knew that stuff. Okay. But my biggest thing is like, you don't do early voting, so you know it's like you got to vote the day of the election, and that's it.
So the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball, extreme. I forgot to open this up, but today's podcast is sponsored. Let me see if I can open it up. It is sponsored by our sexy sponsor, Adam and Eve.
Computer love. Yes!
Adam and Eve is determined to help you spice things up in the bedroom, and they are backing up that promise. Check this out. Go to adamandeve.com and you'll get 50% off of almost any item when you enter offer code TBGWT. All you gotta do is go to checkout and put that in. That's a good deal, but they got more, guys. That's not it. They now have back in supply for a limited time only, because it's backed by popular demand. The Big O Kit. That's right. The Big O Kit has an exclusive Climax gel and a mini vibrator. And in addition to that, you get your entire order sent to you for the low, low, free 99. Absolutely free. So all you got to do, take advantage of this. Go pick out a new adult toy, naughty movie, some lingerie, some condoms, like whatever it is you're into. You go pick that thing out. Put the code in, TBGWT, half off, free shipping, plus the Big O Kit. All you got to do is put in TBGW2 at adamandeve.com during the checkout. Come on.
Not to get off topic, but it's amazing. This song came out years before it was relevant, because when this song came out, everybody had personal computers and iPhones and iPads and Snapchat and all this shit we got now. So it was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
It still goes.
Yeah, the thing is, though, they didn't really know anything about computers at the time.
Nope.
This was dial-up computer love.
Come on, this was AOL chat room computer love.
Who knows what it would be like, you know, since we have phones in our pockets now, you know, that are basically computers. Like, they probably be able to really remix this.
What? Yes.
All right, it is time to get into some podcasts, and all kinds of news and stuff happened. Although I did have some random thoughts I wanted to talk about before we get into the news, if that's okay with everyone.
That is. I just want to talk about Double Dare. That's it for me.
Okay, all right. Well, you can start with Double Dare. Go ahead.
I went to Double Dare, y'all. Double Dare Live. I got to see Mark Summers live here in Charlotte, and I had a ball. I have always loved Double Dare ever since I was a kid. I didn't realize that it started in 1986. I was like 7 when Double Dare first aired. And I remember being a little kid and always wanting to be on the show, because I just thought it was the neatest shit ever, watching all the physical challenges and all that stuff.
Is this like a tour or something they're doing?
Yes, it's a tour.
So mm-hmm. People can still get tickets in their local areas, maybe?
Yeah, go to I think doubledare.com, and it tells like the list of cities that they're going in. They went to Fayetteville, North Carolina. They went to Columbus, Ohio, Charlotte. They're gonna be in New Jersey, New York. So they're gonna be around. So you can kind of go online to see, you know, where they are. I forgot. Probably through Facebook. You know how a lot of times it kind of follows, you know, things you like and stuff like that. It popped up, and I was like, "Ooh, let me see what this is." I was like, "Ooh, they're coming to town." So I had talked to your mom about it. She said, "Yes, get tickets." So I got tickets for me, her, and Layla. And your mama. I don't think she ever really got into the show. So this was her first time seeing it live. But me and Layla are fans of the show. Layla's younger than me, so Layla's a fan of the newer version of the show. And so, but I'm talking about like the old school version of the show. And I've always wanted to go. So for me, I was like, yes, I will be getting tickets, and yes, I will be getting as close as I can get. One thing about being an adult and saving up money, you can be like, I can do the shit because I can do it. So I went, and I had a ball, and it was so much. The crowd was so crunk. Like, a lot of adults grew up on it, so I didn't feel so alone.
So how much of the crowd was kids? How much was adults?
It was probably a good 60% children, you know, because a lot of people bought children. There was like 2 and 3 children, 4, 5, 6 children.
And are y'all watching Double Dare, or is it a thing where they're picking people out of the audience to participate as well?
A little bit. They're picking people out of the audience, and we got to actually watch somebody at the audience do the show.
So you could have been picked?
Yes. Oh, okay, yes, cool, yes. Cool. And it was at the Ovens Auditorium. And at the beginning, cause we got there early, so we got to sit around and stuff, and it was, I got me a t-shirt, I got Layla a t-shirt, and it was really, really, neat, cause before, Mark Summers came out, they did like this thing where they would do like the history of Double Dare, and they told you when it first started, and you know, they asked questions like, what was the first physical challenge? And I didn't know when it first started that now it's a red team and a blue team, but when it first started, it was a red team and a red team, and people was like, I can't tell the difference between the two teams. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got a red team and a blue team now, which is something I didn't know. And so they went through like the history of it and had like these questions and stuff, and it was funny because you could hear people like screaming up at the screen, because like they had the stage and then they had like a screen above the stage that would actually have the questions, and people were hollering out answers, and when they, you know, people would cheer when they got it right and was like, ah, when they got it wrong. This is before the show started, and I had a real good time. But before I finished that thought, they actually rebooted Double Dare. And when they rebooted, it's Mark Summers. And now, I don't know what her nationality is. I know it's a brown girl. She's gorgeous. Who is like his co-host now. And I actually love it because I love the way she interacts with the children. He's on the show too. But she wasn't there. I thought she was going to be there. But I think when they do these two, they just tour him around.
Yeah, so they're not filming this for the show, for the TV.
No. Which I thought they were. No, so they're not filming this. Because they got like a studio, which you can tell because from watching on TV, which is a lot bigger. Back to what you were asking. Yes, what will happen is that they did the first like 30, because it was 2 hours. So the first 30 minutes was them having like, they would have like 2 adults and 2 kids, just randomly 2 adults and 2 kids, and they would have kids versus adults, and they would have like all the old school physical challenges that they would do. And it was just fun because like Mark Summers would come around our area because I bought the bottom tickets, and they had a piece above us, and it was a dude that would go up there and kind of pick them up there and bring them down. And so the first part was that, them actually picking people, and they would do like little segments of the games. And then, after that, they did this one thing, was like, it was like a musical chairs but with pies. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really fun. And
what do you mean musical chair with pies?
Like, you sat in these chairs and you had these pies, you would pass the pies up and down, and if the music stopped on you, you had to take the pie and smash it in your face.
So even if you come to Double Dare, I mean, was everybody getting a free change of clothes or something if they go up on stage, or you just gotta pie your own clothes you came from home with?
Yeah, they cleaned you off, like they gave you stuff to kind of wipe yourself off. But yeah, like it was, because that's
what kind of pies were these?
Whipped cream, Cool Whip.
Oh, okay.
Cool Whip pies. And it was hilarious. One little boy got to pie his mom in the face. That was hilarious. And let me see that. And also, we got to see, they had one where you had to crack 10 eggs in like 30 seconds, and one person would toss the egg, other person would catch the egg, and they would actually take the egg and crack it upside their head, and you had to see it crack. And it was, I think one they did with like a water hose, where they had like these super soakers, and you sprayed them across the room and stuff like that. I got my life, like, you know, I was having a ball, because this is, like I said, this is something that I want to see since I was a child. So I had the time of my life. And then they did like an intermission, and then when they came back from the intermission, they actually did some physical challenges to narrow it down to two teams, a red team and a blue team. And this is where we got to see, like, kind of similar to the show, where they ask somebody a question. If you don't know, you say dare. Then they ask the other team if they know, then they say double dare. And then you either have to answer the question to say physical challenge, and if you say physical challenge, you do, like, you know, little games and things like that. And then the team who scores the most points at the end, you get to go through this obstacle course. It's like eight different things, and it varies. It's like, one is like you dig up a nose and you pull out a flag, and once you get a flag, you pass it on to somebody else. It'd be like pizza, and you have to pull up the pepperonis and stuff like that, and you get the flag, you take it to the next person. And with this, it was four people, so each person would go twice. And he gave the family $100 for each flag that they got and passed on. And if they got all eight, he gave them $1,000 on the spot.
Wow. In cash. So how, man, they must be really sure that they must not do that in no rough cities, because I mean, how you getting on? Like, I just be waiting outside, like, I heard you got, let me borrow $20, you know.
right. Nah, they probably ain't doing it in no rough cities. And I think they was like, she almost caught that last flag. It broke. Everybody was like, oh, because she was climbing up, because the last one you had to climb up a hill, and everybody counted like 5, 4, 3, and she was going up, and she reached, and she wasn't quite tall enough. She missed it, so they end up getting like $700. But that's $700 more than what you gaming it with.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, so that paid for the tickets.
Come on, you right. That probably paid for the tickets alone, because not trying funny, them tickets was not cheap.
Oh, really?
And we had a really, I didn't mind paying for them, but because it was something that I was like, I wanted to go and I wanted to enjoy myself. And we was lower level, so I know they're going to be more expensive. And then they actually had like, I don't VIP, which means you sit like right up front. In the front, which means if stuff slimed and all that stuff, you got it on you, because you're like literally sitting in front of the stage. So we weren't that close, and I would have gotten them, but they were sold out. You could have paid a little bit more, and you could have got, like, went behind the stage, got, like, met Mark Summers, you know, got him to sign stuff. But all that stuff was sold out before I even knew about the tickets. Because if I would have known, I'd have got us those tickets. Because I was like, I really wanted to go. I was like, yes, I want to go. I want to go. And I was like, I'm going to go. I'm going to have a good time. So we did. We was down low. We was up close. And I had a good time. Actually, Mama, she said she had a ball. It was the first time actually seeing it. And some of the questions that they were asking, Layla and your mama are very smart. Because I was looking like, dare, I don't know what that is.
Well, you do like not knowing stuff.
See, I know what I don't know. That's one thing you can say about me. I don't know what I would tell you. I don't pretend like I'm smart on everything. Some shit you don't know. Some shit you can't pretend your way through because somebody gonna know the answer and make you like an idiot.
Well, so you're like, I don't know. You're a big fan of letting everybody know you don't know. I think a lot of black people are. You just can't help yourselves.
Nope, because I want you to know, ain't no if, and I don't know. Like, don't ask me. I don't have you today. And we had a really, really good time. We had a ball. It was about 2-hour event on a Friday night, so we had a good time. And after that, we went out to eat and had a good time there. And yes, I actually enjoyed spending time with me and your mama lately. It was very, very fun. And like I said, see if there's other things happening around that I can do, you know, kind of with just us. Cause I enjoy spending time with my niece. Cause now is the age where, she actually desires to spend time with you, you know, cause as children get older, you know, family becomes a bore or too much or uncool. So I don't know how she gonna feel in a year or two about hanging around with old auntie. So I'm gonna enjoy my time with her while I can.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm glad y'all had a good time.
Mm-hmm, we had a ball, baby.
All right, for my random thoughts, I had a few. I'll try to go through them quickly. It's wild how companies say that, I may have said this on the show already before, but if I haven't, I'll say it now. It's wild how companies will promote having a family environment or be like, we're a family. But if you talk to most people, their families are fucked up. So, like, why would you want to emulate that in a work environment? You know, I don't think that's that very appealing. Like, your family might have that one creepy uncle that nobody wants to leave their kids along with. let's actually not have a family environment. Let's have, like, a lot of y'all's families could use an HR department, you know?
Maybe, come on.
Maybe we should make family a little bit more business oriented. Maybe we're looking at this shit backwards. You know, I don't need a boss that wants me to sit on his lap at Christmas. I actually don't like that, and I don't like sitting on grandpa's lap at Christmas. Like, how about we just get some rules and regulations? There's two drinks at limit at all family party functions.
Come on, everybody get a ticket.
Yeah, we get drink tickets at the cookout. I think maybe I would come to the cookout if it was a little more business-like.
Yeah, but like this, and even children are employees. If children don't want to hug grandma and grandpa, don't force them.
Maybe we need a dress code. I'm just saying.
Come on.
Will and Jada don't yell or cuss each other out. We found that out on Facebook. They have a Red Table show, and Will Smith was on there with Jada Pinkett Smith, and they talked about their marriage, and everybody was like, ooh, I love it. And I said, that's cool. Me and Karen, we don't cuss each other out. We don't yell at each other either.
Mm-mm.
But I met some of y'all spouses, and they do seem like they need to be yelled at. So please carry on. Y'all keep yelling at each other out there, because some of these niggas, I don't want to take the time out of my day to do it. So if you could catch them before they leave the house, that would actually help out the world. So continue cussing that motherfucker out and letting them know they ain't shit. I keep seeing this commercial, and it's Nas doing the voice, the rapper Nas, and it's for Hennessy. And it's all these tales of inspiration that we don't know. And I know Nas has something to do with it, because it's like very pro-black. It's always some relatively obscure black figure from history that I don't know about. And it'd be like, you know, Josiah Johnson was the fastest man on the earth on a bike. And then he finally beat everybody, but he had one opponent left to beat, himself. Hennessy, never stop, never settle. And I was thinking to myself, that sounds like the mantra or the slogan to alcoholism. No, it's Hennessy. Stop, settle. Everybody take it slow.
Know your water alcohol ratio.
That's got to be the only liquor that has a commercial on TV that doesn't say only in moderation. Every other commercial, even the Dos Equis thing, is like, hey, I'm a very interesting nigga and everything, but y'all calm down. All right, don't
kill yourself.
Don't get in a car. Drink. This shit is like Hennessy. Also, there's no way that dude was the fastest man on the earth and fucked with Hennessy. I'm sorry. But it's not true. There's no way that dude was beating the shit out of them white boys on them bikes and hydrating himself with Hennessy every break. I feel like he was drinking water or Gatorade or some other sort of electrolytes. Like, never stop, never settle is ridiculous. And anyone that's been around people drinking Hennessy knows what happens when you drink Hennessy and you never stop, you never settle. Fights! That's what happens. Violence.
it slows the brain down.
It's killing your brain cells, son. It's gonna, that's what the next commercial gonna be. Never stop, never settle. You're gonna hop off the bike and start punching people.
Ah!
No, thank you. You know how they do these gender reveal parties?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people in my woke circle find them somewhat offensive. You know, I think it's kind of a relatively normalized thing, apparently. I don't know when it became a thing. I don't know why it's so popular, but apparently it is.
Right, a lot more popular, you know, than I knew. People just, you know, had a thing and was like, I got a boy or girl, everybody just show up.
And I thought it was weird, to be honest. I still think it's kind of weird, to be honest, but
I
guess so is having a baby. What, like, there's a lot of weird shit that I think is weird that's not really weird. It's actually quite normal. And I think this must be one of those things that's very normal. And of course it normalizes binary gender standards. It mm-hmm. normalizes cis heteronormativity and all the woke words that go around it, you know. And I come totally understand the arguments for why people don't like them and stuff like that. I'm not really saying they're wrong.
Mm-mm. And then, you know, people fall out with you about it because, you know, some people be like, well, are you having a boy or a girl? I'm like, we'll find out when the baby is born. You know, some people are like,
well, nah, that's not what, well, when it comes to the people that are upset in the woke circles, that's not it. Cause even if the baby is born and you say it's a girl, they're like, you don't know that.
Okay.
Like, they're 13 and they say, I'm actually not a girl, I'm a boy. You know, and there's a lot of theoretical stuff around it. Now, the truth of the matter is the practicality of living in this world almost makes it so that you do have to, conform to some extent, and perform to some extent your gender expression, or else you become, we've seen what happens to kids who don't. We've seen what happens to parents and stuff that are like, not my kid, like the world treats them harshly. So, I understand how it's easy for us to have these theories, but in real life and execution, it ain't gonna go like we think. You know, it's easy for me to be like, you know, why would you dress a boy in blue? You know, and then that there's some other practical reason where it does make sense, because you ain't got the time to be explaining that your girl is wearing blue 1,000 times a day. So maybe people give in, even though they don't mean any harm.
Right. And that's why little girls, especially infants, have those, bandana things around their heads, because they was like,
with
this,
the pink, yeah.
Right, it was like, this is how I identify, you know, what my child is.
Yeah. And I, like I said, there's theory and then there's the world,
right?
And so I'm not trying to tell anybody's wrong or right or anything, but one of the things I was thinking was maybe people will relax if we stop calling them gender reveal parties.
Correct.
And you start calling them what they really are, genital reveal parties.
True.
What they really are is you saying my child has this set of whatever between their legs, and that is what we're celebrating today. And I thought this is a great idea,
mm-hmm.
but then I thought about it a little bit more, and we can't have genital reveal parties, y'all. We can't do that. That's ridiculous, because if we have genital reveal parties, I'm afraid Louis C.K. gonna start crashing them and pulling his dick out, and we can't have that. He gonna be like, I heard this was where it was okay to reveal my genitals. Y'all already consented.
No, wrong type of parties. Wrong type of party.
I don't need that type of confusion in the world. You got babies there, possibly. Like, it's just too much. It's too creepy. It's too nasty.
Right.
So keep your gender reveal parties for now till we figure out something else.
Yeah, because when you say gender, you're going the standard boy or girl, so you actually tell them what the genitals are. So I don't see the difference.
I mean, it is a slight difference, because like I said, Louis C.K. reveals his genitals all the time and people don't like that, so we need to make sure it's not confusing. What are the laws to operating a drone on U.S. soil, and doesn't it seem like that should be a bigger deal?
Yes, and I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, I keep seeing these fucking drones and stuff, like videos on YouTube and stuff, people flying them around like they're just flying around
filming
the way that you know, fly like recreational, those little airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the laws? I mean, other than the obvious law, obviously, if you're operating a drone, you cannot have felt the touch of a woman in the past 15 years. Like, we know that law, but what about the other laws? Like, how high can it go? What kind of shit can you film? Because people film on those things.
Fuck it up, because they be like, get this shit off my yard. Why are you filming me?
Yeah, if someone shoots your drone because it's over their house, do they then go to jail? Do they have to pay for your drone? I don't know what the rules are, other than, you know, like I said, you can't have felt the human touch of a woman's caress in the past 15 years. But I think you actually have to have that to buy the drone. I don't think they sell them. They don't sell them to anyone that is having sex of any kind or contact. You know, I was watching a Star Is Born, and it was all right. You know, I think musicals aren't really my genre anyway. And
same.
My understanding is a very old film they keep remaking, and I've never seen the original, so how the fuck can I truly judge? But it felt a little dated. The concept felt a little weirdly patriarchal for no reason and stuff, and that's cool. It still was, you know, very fun, great acting performances, and a lot of people think it's gonna win Oscars or be nominated for Oscars. I've been hearing all that stuff, and it may be, but it was a little bit racist too, and I don't know that I can support a film like this that clearly had Bradley Cooper's own dog in it. Charlie, Bradley Cooper cast his own dog in the film.
Yes, he did.
How many black dogs didn't even get to try out for this film? How many kings, because you know we like to name our dogs King, how many black dogs named King never even got a callback or an audition or anything? They could have been better. They could have done this role. That type of pet nepotism is the problem with Hollywood. And that's one of the reasons Oscar's so white. Even the dogs is white. And that's really, that pissed me off so bad when I found that out, man. And I don't think I can support that movie anymore. And that's why I think Black Panther should win all the Oscars. Facebook needs to change that function that says people you may know to people you may not have unfriended you.
True.
Because I'll be looking on there sometimes and be like, oh shit, oh okay,
they unfriended me, okay. I'm not oh well.
I mean, I do know them. But
I thought we was friends. Apparently we're not. I'm cool.
People you used to know. And the last thing I have to say before we move into the articles, y'all think any Bloods have Blue Cross Blue Shield health insurance? Mm-mm. Or maybe Blue Bross? I just wonder. I mean, I know they might be down with the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Red Bross, but I'll just I mean, if that's the only people that give coverage in your area, I don't know.
They on the Aetna.
Yeah, I don't know what you're supposed to do. So, all right, let's move into these articles. Stuff happened the week we were off. I'll try to go through them pretty fast. Some of them are pretty quick. Some of them, for the most part, don't matter as much anymore, which is one of the best things about having a topical show. You wait a week and now you're like, oh, that shit wasn't even that important.
Correct.
Kanye, who has never voted, tells black people to not vote Democrat, and Twitter destroys him. Well, I mean, let's be honest. How is that any worse than these woke ass niggas on Twitter telling y'all not to vote and not to be shamed into voting and not to feel any pressure to vote and to stay your black ass on your couch and don't do shit? See, these are the things that I'll be happy about when I'll be like, I don't know what to say about Kanye. Like, at least Kanye got some mental health issues that he can be like, well, I'm struggling through this and y'all all know it. Maybe don't listen to me. Some of these niggas think they right and will block you for saying anything else. But I digress. Kanye West's rhetoric is now going beyond making ridiculous comments. He's encouraging people to vote Republican, which is especially disgusting considering the record number of people of color are running for Democrats during the midterm election. He's designed a Blexit shirt, which debuted. This news is all wrong. Who wrote this? News One? Okay, good. We're going to get to the bottom of this. He actually did not design a Blexit shirt. That's not true. Candace Owens claimed he designed a Blexit shirt. Blexit being her term for black people exiting the Democratic Party, aka Democratic Plantation, and joining the Republicans or not voting at all. This started a storm because Kanye did not actually design that horrible design, by the way. The design was terrible. Mm-hmm. He didn't design it.
And I believe him.
And came out on Twitter and said, I didn't design it. And people were taking Candace Owens' words for it, which, I mean, to be fair, you vouched for that scorpion and tried to cross the river with it. So people believe in that scorpion saying you did some wild shit. It's just par for the course. It's something everyone could have told you before you started doing press events with her and taking her with you to cover stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm. So when she did her young black leadership conference that they did in DC during Howard's out homecoming, she declared like all this stuff, and Kanye, who has lended his presence to Candace Owens, legitimizing her to some people, rising her star to some people, when he was around her, you know, but didn't want to be at this conference for some reason, she still was going to invoke his name. And so she essentially said, yeah, he made these Blexit shirts and shit for us to sell and for black people to lead the Democratic Party. He did not actually do that. Now, I don't know why they didn't update this.
Update for what?
Yeah, shout out to News One for not going back and updating their own article. But he came out later and said not only did he not design that shit, which is funny, right? The thing that got him to this point that we're about to talk about, which is that he says he doesn't want to talk about politics anymore, and he feels that he's being used for beliefs that he does not uphold, and people are starting to put words in his mouth. It's so funny how the ego works. The main reason I think that he's having this quote unquote awakening is specifically because someone said he did something and used his name to try to lend credit to something he didn't want them to do. And that's that design on that fucking shirt. That's the thing. He is to pro-blackness as Megyn Kelly is to feminism.
Right.
It came down to something personally insulting him and him feeling used, and not the other way around, where he's using this controversy to promote himself and his new message of love. Everybody hugs can fix racism. It took someone going, hey y'all, Kanye, my friend Kanye did this. And he went, I didn't do that shit. Why would you lie like that? Well, Kanye, they've been lying to everybody, to you. You've been spreading their lies. You haven't been reading anything, fact checking anything. You've just been going with their lies and telling us that the sky is purple now. And then they finally lied on you and you went, that's too far. I don't understand.
Right.
Ridiculous. So yeah, now he appears to have come to his senses. He says on Twitter, my eyes are now wide open and now realize I've been used to spread messages I don't believe in. I'm distancing myself from politics and completely focusing on being creative. 3 exclamation points. I introduced Candace to the person who made the logo and they didn't want their name on it, so she used mine. I never wanted any association with Blexit. I have nothing to do with it. I support creating jobs and opportunities for people who need them, and most I support prison reform. I support common sense gun laws that will make our world safer. I support those who risk their lives to serve and protect us. Pop up, of course. Let me close that. All right, we'll take your time. Fuck it. I support holding people who misuse their power accountable. I believe in love and compassion for people and seeking asylum, and parents who are fighting to protect their children from violence and war. I would like to thank my family, loved ones, and community for supporting my actual beliefs and my vision for a better world. Yeah, and like I said, it's really just because it's about him now. Because these values he claims to have, the Republicans don't have these values. Trump doesn't express these values.
It's actually opposite of everything you just said.
He also gave like $165,000, I believe, to a candidate for mayor in Chicago, a black woman who is like a really progressive candidate, like so progressive she's not even a Democrat. You know what I'm saying? Like when you get to that progressive level where it's like I'm independent but not independent because I'm basically a Republican and I don't want to call myself one, but independent as I'm so woke I don't even want to be associated with
nobody.
Yeah, with nobody. And it's hard for people to reconcile that shit, you know. For a lot of people, you know, they, because he's been walking around that fucking hat and saying Republican platitudes, it's hard for people to take to know what to make of him. And it's one of the reasons I have had I've been hesitant to have these hot takes about the dude, because I don't understand that dude and I don't know what the fuck he's going through.
Nope.
And the shit he's doing doesn't make sense to me. And I think for a lot of people, they've just, you know, it hurts to see a guy like this promoting insane, hurtful, fucked up, harmful things, dangerous things. And so they've just kind of turned it into like, fuck him and he's a coon and sell out and all that shit. And maybe that's as simple as it is. I don't know why he's giving $200,000 to a Chicago mayoral candidate, who is absolutely the opposite of everything Trump represents. I don't know. I don't know how you take this guy. So yeah, actually, okay, it appears to be $200,000. And I saw somebody be like, that's nothing. I was like, first of all, you pocket watching motherfucker, chill. All these motherfuckers be in some rich person's pockets with how much money would be enough. Nobody ever says what's enough, by the way. They only say what's not.
Right.
I've never seen anybody say that's enough. They always go, that's not enough. This dude, from what I understand it, is broke. Like, broke as in, like, he's negative rich. Like, he's rich, right. But on
he's
credit.
He's rich broke.
Yeah, he rich broke. So I don't even know where the fuck this money's coming from anyway. He be begging to get money for his fucking fashion shit. I don't know. Maybe he's still super rich and got all kinds of money and he's just lying about that too. I don't know. I just know that I'm sure that this candidate needed $200,000 because that's how our politics work. It's going to be interesting to see what her base thinks about her taking it from him.
Correct.
Because, you know, when you too woke, you get into those circles where they rather you lose than win, because they feel like,
yep,
they feel like there's integrity in losing that and purity in losing that just can't be found in having actually attaining power and trying to delegate it, you know. But anyway, man, I just thought that was interesting. These are the happenings that happened with him in the last week, and I don't know what to make of them.
Same.
Chance the Rapper's also supporting this woman for mayor, so I don't know. I know he's supposed, you know, he cares about his city, so maybe this is that in his city he feels differently than he would for the country. And I also think he's inspired by Donald Trump, because in with his ego, Kanye, I think, absolutely was serious when he said he wanted to run for president one day.
Agreed. Yes, I think so too. Yes. Yeah, right. I think Donald Trump set a standard where literally when you talked about it, where people go, if he can win, I what the fuck, I know I'm smarter than him,
right? And everyone's so afraid of this new standard, which I understand, it is scary,
right? Because I don't want no dumbass up there. I want somebody that knows some shit and know what they don't know, and then put people around them that are experts in these fields,
right? And I don't think obviously Kanye could win a presidency, but just the fact that it's inspiring, quote unquote, to people, you do have to think about it.
Yes, you know? I'm sorry, I don't want no everyday man running the country. Sorry, I just don't.
Right, I totally understand. All right, let's get into another article. Bernie Sanders calls Trump most racist, sexist, homophobic, bigoted president in history. Okay, all right. Did this on Tuesday. Where was he at on Tuesday doing this? A campaign event for Maryland gubernatorial candidate Ben Jealous. He said it's time to spit these Bernie Sanders facts on these fools. He said Trump is the most racist, sexist, homophobic, bigoted
Trump didn't march with MLK way in the back.
Huh?
Bernie, Trump didn't march with MLK way in the back.
Oh, yeah.
On the Saturday, from a 9-state tour, working with great candidates all across this country. And I can tell you, there are candidates and supporters working hour after hour to make sure that we end one-party control of the United States government. They are working to make certain that the agenda of the most racist, sexist, homophobic, bigoted president in history will go nowhere because Democrats will control the House and the Senate.
I mean, that's pretty bold campaign rhetoric from him. You know?
Yeah, I just feel a way about him, and my thing is when Hillary Clinton was talking about them niggas and the president, y'all act like if she breathed hard in his direction, she was fucking wrong. You know, like, I don't know, this shit just kills me. And you know, you say this about him, but your ass didn't even campaign down here though, right? You didn't want no nigga votes, right? You didn't want no down south votes.
Well, he called, when Hillary Clinton called Trump voters deplorables, a basket of deplorables, you know, it was people like Bernie that pushed back on that, and right. They say that you can't call his voters racist or anything. I'm surprised that he's even calling Trump racist, because he was on some give Trump a chance shit after Trump got elected.
Right, like I said, I don't know. Like I said, I got my feelings about him, and probably because it's personal, but it's one of those things where I don't want to hear anything he has to say. You the same person that every time somebody brings up, but I'm black, you turn around, but I'm brown, you turn around and say jobs are going to fix everything. Jobs ain't going to fix fucking racism. You know, when I bring up the things about your policies and the flaws in them, and how, you know, this kumbaya shit you promote and don't fix real life issues to brown people and marginalized people, and you won't turn around and tell me it's the economy. Get out my face.
Well, I'll tell you how I feel about it. Welcome to the cookout, Bernie.
Nope.
Better late than never. I see you about 2 years late. But I appreciate you coming anyway, brother. Let me go and get you a plate. You want some of this pumpkin spice cornbread?
Nope. He bring his ticket. I'ma burn it in his face.
Have a seat next to me. I got you. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. I got somewhere to go. Well, you have a seat over there, and I'll be right back.
You know you're not even going to be there. What you talking about?
I'm on my way. Let me just hop in the shower real quick, Bernie. I'll meet you there.
Nope.
He gonna be there on time, too.
Nope.
Y'all gonna be 2-3 hours late like most black people.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yes, Bernie.
Mm-mm.
Thank you.
Mm-mm. Taylor Swift can come in before he can. Fuck that nigga.
It took him a while, but I cannot wait to see him electric slide on the ones and threes.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
We appreciate your contribution, brother.
No, we do not.
Brother Bernie, coming in late, but coming in with that power. Because I meant it when I said it, Karen. All hands on deck. I'll take all the help we can get. Let's fucking go. You want to go rally and call this nigga out his motherfucking name finally? Well, it's about goddamn time.
I agree with that part, yeah.
So let's go. I don't care. I am fucking dogmatic about this. It's not a game to me. You know, when he backslides later, which he will.
Right.
He will backslide towards something later. Then we can talk about that. But right now, yes, this is the kind of rhetoric I need all these people giving speeches to sound like. Y'all need to call this motherfucker out. This election is very important. It may be I would actually say it's more important than 2020 right now.
It is.
This is more important than 2020 because this is the resistance for the next 2 years. If we, whatever happens tomorrow is it.
Right.
That's it. Because if it stays like it is, there is no integrity within the Republican Party that will stop this fucking evil man. So yes, thank you, Bernie, for saying what you said. Took you a long time to get here, and you're probably only saying that the drum up support and votes for this mayor or for this candidate. I don't care. I'll take it. Thank you. And people, and we need people like this to say these things, because honestly, these motherfuckers will not appreciate it coming out of a black person's mouth.
Agreed.
We need people like Bernie. If you really want to be the guy who marched with King, talk like this. Because there cannot be any equivocating to what we are facing. And as long as you're Mr. I don't know about these identity politics, I don't know, then we can't work with you.
No, we can't.
So you got to call a thing, beloved, and tell us that this nigga racist, he's homophobic, he's a bigot, and people can't support him, and we need to get him up out of there. Cool. I'm y'all already know my feelings about this shit. Let's go. The end. Yeah. We'll fight when we get the power back. We can fight about how much we don't really like your ass, but I mean, we was gonna do that with anyone that won.
Come on.
Y'all was gonna do that with Hillary. Y'all was gonna do that with Bernie. It didn't matter who won. It was gonna be this. The only person motherfuckers don't seem to want to have the balls to fight is Trump. He the only one these motherfuckers really feel fine just sitting around being like, well, maybe there's a way that we can think about it where maybe he could do it. It's like he not lying if you think about it this way. No excuses. Let's go. Let's see what else happened. Porn loving U.S. official spreads malware to government network. So they had the U.S. Geological Survey, USGS, employee, apparently liked porn so much that he got a government network infected with malware. He had extensive history.
So niggas be watching porn at they .gov jobs.
Apparently so.
.gov, that mean government, right? U.S. government is usgovernment.org,
An extensive history of visiting adult pornographic websites is what this employee had. Investigators found malware on many of the 9,000 pages he or she accessed.
Woo!
The U.S. Office of the Inspector General has recommended the USGS blacklist rogue websites. Our analysis confirmed that many of the pornographic images were subsequently saved to an unauthorized USB device and personal Android cell phone. Okay. So he was saving the images to US images like pictures, not videos. He wasn't downloading video. He was downloading porn pictures to put on his phone. And I'm guessing taking in the video in the bathroom and jack off. I mean, because
apparently so.
Like, did he not have Wi-Fi home? Did he not want to use his data? All his Pa data plan.
From his wife.
Huh?
Pa John had it from his wife.
But how are you hiding it from your wife if you still putting it on your phone? You could just get the middleman and just like download it from your phone. I don't understand.
I don't either.
As well as government computers, the employee's personal mobile was also found to be infected. Oh God. See, that's why iPhone don't let y'all play around. iPhone be like, nope, can't have that app.
It's your will. He be like, no, you, this right, you can't have this.
Android be like, you want to download herpes.exe, the app? And you're like, oh yeah, I'll get that. Reports, sorry Mr. Spam, but it's true. Reports of the case were picked up by news site TechCrunch.
I told Mr. Span, I said, I love my iPhone like white women love pumpkin. I don't give a fuck. It's basic, as people call it. I don't need no degree in phone to figure out how to use that shit.
But you can't get no virus from downloading porn on it, and I think that's the most important.
I needed to protect me.
That's the most important thing right here in this article. The site also reported that the malware in question was designed to steal data from infected computers and what the computers were associated with. That's probably how Russia got all our shit. USGS employees are advised not to connect USB devices or mobile phones to government computers.
No shit, that's part of their fucking policy.
But the connections are not disabled. Yeah, because why would you disable the connection? You would hope that people have like some common sense. And this guy's an outlier.
But apparently not. I bet you somebody else probably doing that bullshit, but they just ain't got caught.
Oh my goodness.
That, do you not realize when you go to a job, your IT, you sign shit to say we monitor everything? Do you not know every few months before you log on, you're gonna be like, hey, you can't clock in until you agree that we monitor everything? And everybody go, yeah. And then somebody go, oh, I got caught. Yes, nigga, we told you we monitor everything.
Some people are trying a different way to get out the vote. Now this thing says millennials. I think we attribute a lot of things to millennials that aren't true.
No, and I don't even think it's millennials. They just go young people and just throw them all in the same group.
Emily Myers is the only person she knows who's been kicked off of Tinder, and she considers it a badge of honor. The 25-year-old Washingtonian wasn't sending nude pictures or offensive messages. She was just trying to register people to vote. But sending spam, campaigning, or nudging people towards external websites is forbidden on Tinder. And after several days of swiping right and racking up over 200 matches and messaging these men that they should visit vote.org to check on their registration status, Myers discovered her Tinder account was locked. Someone must have reported her. You goddamn right. See,
I didn't come on here to vote now. If I wanted to vote, I'd have been on the vote website.
You would think after... You know, I'm sure there are people that think that after what I said yesterday that I'm some type of ridiculous, like I run up on people and be like, what you doing in here taking a leak? You should be voting. I'm not that kind of person. I just don't like the logic of people that, you know, turn everything into shaming and talk about, you know, that you can't bring up no struggles or no ancestral shit because they gonna cry. I don't like that shit. That shit is whack. But, right. I'm on Tinder and you talking about just register to vote? Man, are you serious right now? You know?
I would be mad too.
Like, this is ridiculous. Like, how far are you willing to take this? Are you gonna fuck the 200 dudes and then like, when they go to reach for condoms, be like, oh, hold on. It's a voter registration. It's a voter registration thing next to them condoms.
What's your first name? What's your last name? Let me see if you registered.
Right. Whose pussy is this? Well, tell me how to spell it and I'll put it on this voter registration form.
Yes,
I'm just trying to help you. Kyle, is it Kyle with a Y? Like, come on, man. I'm sure this is only like one or two people doing this stupid shit, and then they attribute it to all millennials, but I guarantee you this is a couple of people.
I think it's just that one person.
Yeah, some Tinder users have been logging on the app specifically for voter outreach rather than flirting with strangers. The trend comes amid related cultural shifts as campaigning has become more digital, and daters increasingly are looking for matches who share their views. Yeah, but it's different if you want to date somebody and you want to know what their political affiliation is,
right?
Than what she was doing, which was specifically logging on to be like, register to vote. And also, how do you know? I feel like her Tinder was full of just black people. It's probably just, I mean, cause how do you know how people vote?
Correct.
Like, if you want, I mean, well, I guess it depends on who she wants to win. Maybe she was a Republican. She was out here getting off, swiping on all the chats, you know, all the, she's looking for all the Tobys she could find.
All the Dusties.
Yeah. So I don't know, actually. So yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. And I'm not with that. That shit is whack. Think you about to have some sex and some motherfucker talking about some, you need to vote. Like, man, what? And you know it's whack because you would never do that shit in person. You would only do that over the phone. You're not taking your ass down to a bar and, hey, ma'am, you looking good. You mind if I buy you a drink? I mind if you check, if you registered to vote. What? Man, what? All right. Megyn Kelly lost her job and, the agencies that represent her, CAA, dropped her too.
So she can sue for some more money, right?
Yeah, and then I had a trend on Twitter while we were off
you
air.
Sure did. That shit was fucking hilarious.
It was called hashtag Megyn Kelly cancel party.
Yes.
And I just started it and was making it started with gifts of Al Roker and Tamron just like,
yes,
celebrating and shit, and I just keep putting them up, and then eventually all the people on Black Twitter joined in and it was trending in the US.
It was fucking hilarious. I went through and I fell out laughing.
Yeah, if y'all have time, hashtag Megyn Kelly cancel party if you want to see some funny ass jokes, because they were really funny.
Delivered.
And
people's like, I got to go back to work, come on now.
Yeah, I had one of Black Santa dancing. It was like Black Santa showing up to the Megyn Kelly party, like it was fun, man. Oh, I love being Black.
Yes.
All right, what else happened in the time we were off? Oh, that dude sent bombs to people and then got caught. The most interesting thing is his van looked like what you think the dude who sent bombs to Democrats' van looked like. I looked at that van. I said,
"GOP ice cream truck."
Yeah, it did like a GOP
ice cream
truck.
Would you like a racism strawberry swirl?
Raspberry racism, my favorite.
Would you like some nigglets? I got plenty of those.
I'm a little nexy, buddy. Yeah.
Would you like a Make America Great Again pop? I got you covered.
Yeah. So they had his van did look like that.
And right.
It was like pictures with targets over Democrat politicians and shit, like shooting targets, like the crosshairs.
Mm-hmm.
And guess where he worked, y'all? Guess where this nigga worked?
Where?
Papa John's.
Oh no! Them niggas can't get a break.
Just can't catch a break.
You got people trying to, you got them giving away pizza. They was like, look, we can't go no lower than free. Come on now.
They gonna have to start coming out with reparation pizzas or.
I mean, something.
Like they's like the Black Lives Matter pizza.
Buy one get three free. I mean, come on right. Now. They're right. Like, look, we trying to clean our names up.
Ah, the ghetto. The ghetto. The ghetto.
Every time some shit goes down, Papa John's must watch the news like Black people watch the news. Well, it's something like we do it with crime, they do it with racism. Like, please don't let it be somebody work for us. Please don't let it be nothing to do with us. They're like, the killer worked the killer worked at Radio Shack. Oh, thank God. Oh, woo. Woo. And he said his favorite pizza was Papa John's. Oh, no,
right, God,
no. Inside the van, boxes of Papa John's, and also booklet saying he hates niggers. Delicious pizza.
He said the old CEO should have his job.
Better ingredients, better get your ass back to Africa. Back to you guys.
Better ingredients, better racism.
I wonder what his interview sounded like when he was interviewing for the job.
But my mouth to God's ears, I really hate those nigger rats. And anyone else really that doesn't have pure white Aryan blood running through their veins.
I'm happy to be talking to a true white American.
God bless white America.
Well, you're hired.
Come on. Come on through.
And his employee, like, the people he worked with had the nerve to be like, you know, I mean, he had some pretty weird political views, and I mean, he was saying things about Black people and stuff, and I worked with him. I was a Black woman, and, you know, he hated lesbians, but, you know, the guy could get a piece of there in 30 minutes, so I'm like, what? How? You know how many niggas lose their job for shit like, he was 5 minutes late, and I said, Black people are always late, so I fired him.
Right.
You know how many Black people lost their job on some bull? She wouldn't take her braids out, so we had to let her go. It's not representative of our hotel. Meanwhile, this dude was walking around talking about, I hate niggers, and they was like, yeah, but I mean, he knows his way around the back streets of Miami. We gotta get the pieces on time.
I mean, man, the way he rolls out that dough.
Right. Oh my God. He also was a DJ, promoter, booking agent for live entertainment, owner and choreographer.
Him other than the KKK.
He was a former stripper.
Who would watch him strip?
And some kind of bodybuilder, maybe. He was on steroids and shit.
I mean, he come in sheets? What is happening here?
Yeah, so that's your man, Soyak. Also, I'm glad no one got hurt, but how the fuck you make 17 bombs and none of them blow up? What the fuck? Like, I'm glad no one got hurt, but dude, you are bad at terrorism. Like, real bad. Like, you know, like, you are John Starks in the finals bad at fucking terrorism, bro. You are 0 for 17 on your terrorism. What kind of amateur setup was that? Like, even fucking Wile E. Coyote Acme bombs blow up more than your bombs.
Yeah, they did blow up now.
Your bombs are horrible, dude. Learn to terrorism if you're gonna
do it right.
Jesus Christ, you are way out of your depth. Like, this is some bad terrorism, dude. Like, I mean, I'm glad you're bad at it. I wish all terrorists were bad at it.
Me too.
But this is like the 9/11 hijacker people just like didn't make it past TSA. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, what the fuck? Like, oh god, shake it. Like, you could have hurt people doing anything else. Driving a car, poisoning them pizzas, shooting people. There's like so many other things you could have done as terrorists that would have been better at. You might as well have just mailed these people just cards with laxatives in them. You would have had a better chance of making their day bad than what you did.
Yep.
You cost all that people taxpayers money and shit to track you down. Meanwhile, you was on Twitter basically saying, I did the terrorism. Like, you are horrible at this. You didn't even really get away. I don't even think he was hiding.
No.
He was just like,
not in the ice cream truck. You can't hide in that goddamn ice cream truck.
Like, if I was giving terrorism grades, you got an F.
You failed.
Like, F minus, dude. This is the worst terrorism of all time. Good grief. Like, you're gonna be in jail. They're not even having no respect for you. I'm like, how the fuck did you go over 25 terrorisms, dude? Not one bomb went off?
I was like, not one, dog. Not one.
Well, I thought that, you know, I must have mixed up the wires or something. I don't know how them bombs didn't blow up. It's a good point. I had it wired to blow. You just have to, like, light a match or something. Like, what is the, what, how did you, you know what, that's terrible.
Did you pull the string? I don't understand.
Just, you're a bad terrorist, dude.
I'm glad. Yeah, find another line of work.
Just give it up. Jesus Christ. Cardi B and Nicki got into it. I think it was mostly on Instagram, maybe.
From my understanding.
I don't know.
Instagram confuses me. I just put pictures out there and call it a day.
Yeah, this one made me feel old, cause
mm-hmm.
partially cause they not putting it on wax, so we don't even have a song to get hype about. Like, when it's with Drake and Pusha T, at least we had the songs and we could play the songs and be like, yo, these niggas are going in on each other. Like, Instagram Live is kinda like some, I guess,
some young people shit.
Yeah, like, I'm sure it's funny in the moment, but I don't be on the gram live like that.
Mm-mm.
You know, I'm mostly on there to look at butts. Okay, I'm the Tina Belcher of Instagram.
Watching women twerk, watching women, this trip go live.
Right, I'm like, oh, wait, Miss A Lot of Booty went live? Well, yes, I got the time for that.
Yes.
But I don't really need to hear Cardi B talk bad about Nicki. Not that anyone is against it or anything, but just, it don't move me like, when it's two rappers, it's nothing moved me like them rapping about each other. I didn't even really talk about Drake's interview with LeBron or Pusha T's interview with Joe Budden, because I don't care about that shit. Rap. Y'all have a job. It's called rapping. Who the fuck want to read an interview to find out what you think about another rapper? Rap about that nigga. Are we serious right now? But yeah, so we have no songs of them direct. Maybe we'll get one out of this. But we do have, like, Cardi's Instagram, and, you know, her talking about kicking Nicki's ass and suing Nicki, for defamation, maybe? I can't remember what the exact things she said she was gonna sue her for.
Me either.
All based off of that fight at the Met Gala, where they had on the dresses, and people are saying that Nicki stepped on the hem of Cardi's dress, and Cardi went across the room to try to fight her, and then Nicki hid behind like security, which is also funny because, you know, Nicki talked about whooping people's ass and all the shit she gonna do, but obviously she wasn't about to do shit, which is one of the reasons I try to keep the same energy and I don't talk shit. I came back up.
Then since you're talking about suing and shit, because you claiming that Riley beat me up, sis, I don't gotta sue nobody because of a fight. I'm a street bitch. That is called snitching, you know? But since you wanna talk about suing, maybe I should sue you for defamation of character, since you wanna claim that I'm using something illegal called payola, because you don't understand why I am so fucking successful. And my thing is, just like every new artist that had a mega hit like SZA, Ella May, after they get a mega hit, everybody wants to listen to them. So why is it that when people want to listen to me, you cannot believe it, that I gotta be cheating for that? First of all, you was bopping to my shit. Second, my new single came out called Money, right? So my thing is, my single hasn't even impacted radio yet. And yet, it's doing so good on Apple. It's actually number one on the top charts, all genres on Apple. And that's the same shit that you got your queen radio on. So how can I possibly use payola on some shit that endorses you? Man, is you shitting me? Ugh. Then, since you say you tired of talking about it, I'm tired of talking about it too. I'm tired of the fucking whole internet shit. I'm tired of the interview shit. If you really want to talk about it, you know where to link me. We could always link up. You know who to reach out. You know, we could settle it however you want to settle it. We could talk about it or we could fight it out. I'm with whatever. But I'm sick and tired of that back and forth shit. I'm not doing it. I'm in a good space right now. Let me know what's up.
What do you think?
About what she said?
Yeah.
I think she's to a place where she's like, I'm tired of you attacking me. She's like, look, either shut up, go on about your business, let me be. Like, I think she's to that point now. She's just tired of it. She was like, you know where I'm at, but you constantly talk. And I think that Cardi knows that Nicki really ain't about that life. Like, she'll never actually physically fight her.
Yeah, and also we've seen Cardi whoop people's ass on TV. Everybody forgets she started on Love and Hip Hop, and I watched that show, and she absolutely mollywopped quite a few women's in her time, especially old girl who came from London just to catch the hands with the motherfucking round trip ticket on it. Like, that was a bad look. But the thing is, no one in their right mind is gonna allow those two to physically fight each other.
Correct.
There's too much money on the line for all that shit.
Right.
What they're fighting about is not the kind of thing that rises to the level of like killing a motherfucker or something.
Mm-mm.
So it, I mean, to me, it just sucks that I forget who I was talking with this about. I think it might have been Susan the other day, but it kind of sucks that since Lil Kim, Foxy Brown, I don't know if there's ever been a time where we've had like black women MCs that people respected and that kind of like could work together. Like, I want to say the last thing I remember black women like working together on in hip hop was I Want to Be Down remix. Maybe I don't know if there's something on the Wait Next Hell soundtrack or something, but it, I don't know, it just seemed like it kind of went to the wayside. And now, because of the fact that men control the industry and mm-hmm. they make it so that, you know, they make it so that even when they're making money off a woman act, they try to make sure you don't respect them. So it's like Big and Jay saying they wrote the lyrics for Kim and Foxy and shit. That harms the industry and it harms that MC. Now, we're not supposed to have as much stigma on writing for other people anymore, but what's the first thing that happens when two women start beefing? Somebody else writes your rap. You fuck niggas so you can get your raps. You, like, it's never, you know, like, it's always immediately to the integrity of women don't rap, essentially.
Right. And then, you know, people talk about Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill's like, I didn't want to do none of that, and it actually damaged my career, because I was like, I'm not doing that bullshit.
And then we have a lot of women that even though there was some beefs back in the day, it's not like every woman got along.
Correct.
It just wasn't the thing of like, and then the next, like, I beef with the next person. Like, you know, Lil Kim got a beef and Foxy got a beef, and then Nicki comes along, now they got a beef. Now Cardi's coming along, now they got a beef. You know, it's kind of like a level of like, you know, because somebody was saying, I read an article that said, will hip hop have its Me Too movement? And I said, absolutely not. Because one of the parts that they have time, one of the reasons they have Time's Up and Me Too in Hollywood is because there's a level of solidarity among women. Not that these women are all on the same page. Not that there's not splits within the women, like there's white women, there's cishet women, there's still divisions, but there's a solidarity. They can come together and be like, we don't get paid enough. We don't want to get sexually harassed. I don't know that hip hop will ever have that type of unity, because it would take some people at the top being like, it can't be about us not liking each other right now. It has to be about us coming together and saying, we want respect for the, in an industry where Rick Ross can brag that he won't sign a woman to his label unless he fucks her.
Right.
You know, industry where, you know, Angela Yee gets talked over and dudes, you know, talk about fucking her and shit while she's live on the air. In a world where, you know, people, the first thing that happens when Remy Ma, Nicki, or Cardi beef with each other is y'all don't write your own raps and you fucking niggas for hits and shit like that. I don't think we have anything close to that kind of solidarity in hip hop that would be some level of fighting back, you know? And that's not even considering the philosophical divisions within those women. Like, Remy Ma's politics are not Cardi's politics.
Mm-mm.
You know, I don't watch that State of Hip Hop show or whatever with Joe Budden, but every time I see a Remy Ma quote, it's some hotel, real fucked up rape culture shit. I don't know that that's the kind of woman that even would be down with, let's get paid what these men get paid.
Right.
You know, it's a tough sell. It's a tough sell. But I don't think that's the responsibility necessarily of Cardi or Nicki or anybody like that. But I absolutely do think that, like, it's kind of repetitive at this point.
Yeah, and I think the thing about it, I know a lot of people know more about this genre than I do, but there are a lot of women out there that are rapping and doing various different things, but a lot of times those women never get the spotlight and never get to the point where their name becomes mainstream, because, you know, for a lot of dudes, as I ate, I can't, most of the time, with some exceptions, if I can't promote you as a sex symbol, why are you here?
Right. So I don't think any of that shit's ever gonna happen. And also, I do think the Me Too movement and Time's Up is overstated in Hollywood. Like, people act like it fixed Hollywood. It's like, mm-hmm. Nah, a couple people got their comeuppance. Most of these niggas are still working and doing just fine. They'll be up for Oscars this year, all that stuff. The ones who won't is because they took a self-imposed exile. It's not,
but they'll
that
be back. Nobody no, gets yeah. canceled.
No one got rid of James Franco just didn't do an Oscar worthy movie this year. If he would have, trust, he would have been his ass right back up there. So, you know, I think, you know, people like to use it against hip-hop, like, you know, why come in these other industries, like, are we seeing real change in those other industries? Are we seeing kind of surface level change? Because men ain't gonna give up the spot.
No, they're not.
Long as they run anything, they not giving it up. Nicki Minaj does her own radio show, and she has some information she shared about the whole Cardi thing. She said she didn't leak Cardi B's number. She refuted claims from Cardi B's sister, Hennessy, that Minaj leaked the I Like It rapper's phone number to manipulate their fans to spread so much negativity and hate. And then you have your sister calling me a crackhead and leak numbers. She said, you can't control your sister, but you want me to control millions of fans. I never leaked a number in my life, and y'all continue to lie on me and make me look like a bad person. I mean, isn't she doing enough of that on her own?
You think Harriet Tubman was walking around with a fucking nice shiny fucking dress on with a fucking crown on her head when she was taking slaves to freedom?
Cardi stopped Offset and 21 Savage from working with Minaj. Cardi apparently thought Minaj talked about her on a verse with 21 Savage, which allegedly led to Offset and 21 Savage not appearing on London on the track's record with Minaj. Minaj's friend Riley was the one that beat Cardi at Harper's Bazaar event. Riley was there? Ra really, really beat Cardi's ass. Ra beat you so bad that I was mad at Ra. You went home and told people security hit you, and we let that ride for legal reasons. Anybody that want to pull up the surveillance footage, I'll give you $100,000. Yeah, and that's the other thing is, Cardi's like, all them phones out, nobody would have captured that on film. You know, like, cause Cardi's the whole thing is she lying. And then I think they got caught, like, Nicki got caught in a lie trying to say something about a brand deal that Cardi didn't have, and that Cardi provided the receipts on, like, on Twitter, like the screenshots, which was funny on two levels. One, she put them people's email addresses out there, but then two, she did catch, you know, she proved that she was telling the truth. I'm old enough to remember when Monique did that and motherfuckers lost their minds and said it was very unprofessional. And why would she do that after calling her a liar? But when she put out the receipts, it was different. I'm telling you, people only as faithful to their morals as the people they like. That's
it. Come on.
They don't like Monique, therefore she did it unprofessional. They like Cardi, it was fine. She provided the receipts. People are crazy, man. She thinks Cardi is being nice to other female rappers to spike Nicki. Now y'all lovey-dovey with them girls. Why you not ask Remy and Kim to be on your second single? She said. He may be crazy, but the culture needs Kanye West. Okay, that has nothing to do with Nicki. Current rap is a joke. Yeah, okay. Minaj wants to drop the drama. How? When you saying stuff like this.
She can't just... quit talking about it. Like, literally, if you quit talking about it, it will literally go away.
It's literally the easiest thing in the world.
Right?
she said that shit like it's a conspiracy. I would love to drop this drama. I don't know why it keeps following me. But anyway, Rob beat your ass and we got it on tape, bitch. 100K, bitch. All right. Let's get into our other games. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go all around the globe, find different articles, make us feel fucked with. The weird sign points, scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with. Today's contestants, everybody. Rebel Wilson. You know who she is?
I've heard of that name, but no.
She's, I think, an Australian plus-sized actress, comedian. She's in those, like, I don't even know what those, those movies are called. The ones where they lip sync.
Oh, them, that singing movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So she's in those movies.
Pitch Perfect, yeah.
Pitch Perfect. She stirred up a controversy last week when she claimed she was the first plus-size actress to star in a rom-com film, and now she's apparently blocked so many critics over the questionable comment, it spawned a hashtag Rebel Wilson blocked me hashtag on Twitter. The Bridesmaid star appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show to discuss her new film, Isn't It Romantic? She claimed that she was the first ever plus-size girl to be the star of a romantic comedy. In a tweet that since been received 16,000 likes, a Twitter user corrected her, referencing both Queen Latifah and Monique. Queen Latifah starred in 2006's The Last Holiday and 2010's Just Right, while Monique vehicle Fat Girls came out in 2006. Yeah, this is interesting too, because I think the person that corrected her is I can't remember a Twitter handle, but I think she goes by Clarkeisha Kent or something like that. And this is one of those classic white fragility moments where the original offense wasn't that fucked up, to be honest. Anyone could have forgot that shit or not known that shit. She's from Australia. people do this shit all the time where they star in some shit, they don't know the history of it, they just try and get a check, but then they say some shit and everybody comes in and goes, that's not what's up, and they're like, oh my bad, didn't know that, I'll make sure to say that next time. I'm now continuing a long tradition of plus size actresses who have rom-coms sitting around them and it's not about them being plus size or something like that. Boom, okay, cool, no harm, no foul. You fucked up a little bit. Some people will always be mad, but they stay mad on Twitter anyway. You don't have to worry about those people.
Right.
Nope. She had to double down. And that's where we end up here. That's why that's how you make the news. And somebody said, I love At Rebel Wilson as much as the next girl, but she isn't the first plus size woman to play the lead in a rom-com, a romantic comedy. Queen Latifah and Monique have both played rom-com leads. That was from Half Pint Doll or something. Wilson then earned further criticism when she defended the comment on Twitter. Yeah, I of course know of these movies, but it was questionable as to whether, one, technically those actresses were plus size when filming those movies.
What?
Just say you haven't seen the movie.
Come on.
Just say you haven't seen the movie, ma'am. Do you not know who these actresses are? Just say you don't know who the actresses are. Come on.
My reaction is angry, sad, and disappointed.
Two, technically those films are categorized, billed as studio rom-com with a sole lead. So there's a slight gray area. Come on. There's no slight gray area to that one.
He's trying to be right.
Now most of the people I saw correcting her were black women, and they went in because, you know,
they're not here for it.
They're sick. They've seen this story so many times. New just a new face on it. It's the same.
I saw a new face.
Say something fucked up, they correct you, then you go fuck that shit. It's just, you know, what I said is still right. And so that's when the blocking wars began. Right now, if you just pretty much say anything to Rebel Wilson on Twitter about this, your ass is getting blocked. You could say,
that's what everybody was like, I've been blocked. I was like, who the fuck is this lady?
You could say it nice, you could say it mean, your ass is getting blocked.
That's why people had the screenshots, okay, float over down my timeline, but I've been blocked by it too.
Yeah, femme fatale_NYC changed her name to Rebecca Rebel Wilson Block Me, and then her last name Theodore Vachon. I mean this is stupid. This is just stupid. Monique hit her up, hey my sweet sister, you know how Monique do. My babies, hey my sweet sister, let's please not allow this business to erase our talent with giving gray areas and technicalities. Take a moment and know the history. Don't be a part of erasing it. I wish you the best.
That was very kind.
A lot of people were very kind. I wonder if she got blocked, because Rebel was blocking people. It didn't matter.
Mm-mm. If you said her name.
Mm-hmm. She replied that her intention wasn't to erase anyone's achievement, but other people pointed out that she had been blocking women of color for trying to facilitate a dialogue. There were even people creating hashtags Rebel Wilson Block Me and Rebel Block Party to commemorate being blocked by the actress. I will say this, guys, and this is just how I'm built. I do not understand these people that are happy to get blocked. I don't understand it. You know what I mean? Because, like, half the time, once it turns into the they block me party, the trends I've seen, you're now being blocked for shit you should be blocked for a lot of times. Like,
that, right? You've gone too far.
Yeah, it's one thing when they're blocking people because they're so sensitive and you didn't do nothing. It's kind of like, wow, I can't believe she would do that. But then once you start to tag the hashtag of so-and-so block me, you be seeing people in there like, you fat, ugly heifer.
Right.
You one-eyed bitch. And then they be like, ha ha, she blocked me. Oh, yes, high five. Woo. It's like,
you be like, no,
nigga, you are evil. What's wrong with you? Where did that evil come from?
You came to the party late and just showed your ass.
She been blocking people for saying, hey, how you doing? Why don't you just say, hey, how you doing? So yeah, she also went on to elaborate. I guess this was today. In a couple of well-intentioned moments, hoping to lift my fellow plus-size women up, I neglected to show the proper respect to those who have climbed this mountain before me, like Monique, Queen Latifah, Melissa McCarthy, Ricky Lake, and likely many others. Yeah, that was the other thing. She erased some white women's up in here too, but because black women were the first ones to bring it up, it was like Monique, Latifah, and I was like Just Right, and I think Fat Girls or whatever, and I was like, those movies are not good. No, so
we don't care.
So I mean, is it okay?
We don't give a fuck. You said rom-com. You ain't said shit about the bitch being good.
But yeah, we haven't seen this movie. It might not be good either.
Mm-mm, right.
But it was funny though, because it was like people was acting like it was I guess the best way to put it is people was acting like those movies were like staples of black cinema, where we were sitting around like, well, everyone knows in the 2003 movie rom-com Queen Latifah and Common Just Right. I mean, we watch it every Christmas, like, you know, like we know that The Last Holiday didn't get reviews, but you did erase those women, okay?
And that was the motherfucking right. problem end of the day that was the problem
right what well, you know what though Karen That wasn't the problem. That's not the problem. The problem was she couldn't admit she didn't know.
Correct.
Because honestly, I really do feel in the heart of my hearts, I know Twitter is a bitter, dark, angry place many times. Right. I honestly feel if she would have said, I just didn't know about those movies, people would have had a moment of like, well, that makes sense.
Right.
Well, it's not that, like those movies.
Some people that would have came at you regardless, but most people would have been understanding. Like you said, that's all we asked. You'd be like, you know what? My bad, y'all. My bad.
That's why I can't even say it's about like her erasing those black women as much as it's about the double down.
And the double down make you go, oh, bitch, you meant to erase us. Okay, we at your ass now.
Right, right.
That's where the problem comes in.
With the help of some very compassionate, well thought out responses from others on social media, I now realize what I said was not only wrong but also incredibly hurtful. To be part of the problem I was helping makes it that much more embarrassing and hard to acknowledge. I blocked people on Twitter because I was hurting from the criticism, but those are people I actually need to hear more from, not less. Again, I'm deeply sorry. I wonder if she's gonna unblock them.
Probably not.
I would ask, but I don't want to be part of it. Mm-mm. Like, I seen this shit happening the whole time. I was like, I'm gonna sit this one out.
I was like, I don't know who that white woman is, but she blocking everybody apparently, and went on about my way.
Like, let me be fair, I wasn't gonna see her movie.
I didn't go see The Pitch Perfect. I ain't seen
I mean, I guess I could focot it, you know. I will focot it when it comes out, but I wasn't gonna see that. I can't even really be upset.
Have we even seen anything she was in?
I think I seen Bridesmaids.
And I didn't even
I'm
see
sure
that.
We've seen something. She's in a lot of shit. We've seen something. We just ain't thought about it. Because she always plays like the self-deprecating, like, big chick.
Ah, okay.
You know, like, you know, I never thought she was, I never saw anything where I thought, like, wow, what a performance. But,
right.
You know, I'm sure she's been in the comic relief of a few movies that we've seen. We're like, oh, yeah, okay, that's Rebel Wilson. But yeah, so 0 to 100, Karen.
25.
Yeah, I wish I could give it higher, but it really was like a 25.
Yeah.
Like, this is like the perfect.
It's like wash, rinse, repeat. We done been down this road before.
Yeah, this is like the perfect, like, black Twitter. Like, if you're logged on, it feels like a big deal, but once you log off, it's like that really wasn't that big a deal.
If you ask the average person who is a Rebel Wilson, they'll be like, who? What group does she sing in?
Right, the average black person anyway.
Right.
Yeah, she was in Pain and Gain. We saw that.
Yes, we did.
Bridesmaids. Ghost Rider. I don't remember her character, Girl in the Alley, in that joint.
Me either.
I don't know, man, but I wasn't gonna see this shit, so you know, good luck or whatever. But yeah, I give it like a 25. I was more fucked with by the fact that people started trending, getting blocked by her, so then I was like, I gotta see more of this shit. Like, can't y'all cancel her? What happened to canceling and moving on? What happened to this? Let's see. Oh, this is a good one. A woman pretended to be persecuted for being a Trump supporter and ended up scamming conservatives out of $150,000.
A fool and their money.
A woman identifying herself as a reformed Republican posted a photo of herself in a Make America Great Again hat and announced she refused to hide any longer. The way the story ended, however, was not the way Republicans would have hoped. Now, I think at this point, you might be thinking, why is this in fucking with black people, right? I mean, a lot of people support Trump. I mean, 53% of white women support Trump. 50 million people voted for Trump. It's because she is a black. Mm-hmm. She is a Negro. And she posted this, my parents kicked me out because I love Trump.
Oh, so this wasn't Crown and Coke, Press and Curl, them two, Diamond and Pepper?
No.
This is somebody else?
No, this is not. This was not Dixie and Cups. This is a black woman that was not. She said, I will not hide any longer. The left has made us feel as if us black Republicans should hide, but not anymore. Hashtag blacks for Trumps. Hashtag walk away. Hashtag MAGA. I will not hide any longer, and the left has made us feel as if black Republicans should hide, but not anymore. Okay. Not long after she tweeted this, she tweeted again, thank you to all so much for the overwhelming support. After seeing this tweet, my parents cut me off and refused to pay for my university tuition. So if you can find it in your hearts to help this young black Republican pay for school, it would be appreciated. She showed text message conversations after finding a place to live and only having a part-time job because she's in school. This morning is getting worse and worse, she posted on Twitter. Her Twitter name is CHCKPEAS, like chickpeas. And so she posted screenshots of the text messages with her parents, which says, Mom, please, where can I go? I literally work part-time and I can't find an apartment nor people to room with on such short notice. I can't afford to live on my own. And then the response, maybe one of those Trumpies that love you so much can take you in. I am so disappointed in you. I'm sorry, but what did I even do? You can't expect me to just blindly follow a political party because I'm black. That's ridiculous. If anything, you always wanted me to think for myself. And now that I am, it's a problem. I'm done talking about the you. You have until the 14th and that's that. Mom, please, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Why are you doing this to me? Because you are being a fucking coon. I have nothing else to say to you, and you might as well not be my daughter. And of course, everybody was following this. Shout out to the black people who were following this, who I saw rejoicing. They were happy to see a black Trump person get in trouble. So she posted a GoFundMe link to assist the leader request for help. She's raised over $150,000 off of conservative donors. Once she was finally outed, she explained that it wasn't stealing because Republicans aren't people to begin with.
Oh, okay.
The GoFundMe has been taken down, but there was a tweet suggesting she scammed about $150,000, somebody put. So, zero to 100, Karen.
Zero. Your fave could never.
An icon. Okay. A hero is born. We appreciate you. Okay? This is the kind of stuff we need more of. This is the energy of 2018. Like, don't use the coon. Let the coon use you. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, go ahead and get that money, sis. I love it. I don't have anything bad to say about that woman. Like, that's exactly what more people should do. If anything, the price of the brick just went up because she did it and y'all were too scared to do it. But it's the kind of thing I've been saying people should do for a long time, and it's good to see a young millennial black person finally taking advantage of what so many have taken for granted. These Republicans will give any nigga that looks their way some money.
Yes, sir.
They're that stupid. Candace Owens was literally anti-Trump, and then she said, I'm for Trump. And they couldn't wait to make her rich. Go ahead. Make your pockets great again.
Come on.
I wonder what she gonna do with that 150. You know? That's a good chunk of change.
You can get debt free with that.
Yeah.
In some cases.
Maybe you can go to, you can use that for school for real. You know? Good luck, man. I wish I could have did it first, to be honest. I don't know what the rules are with GoFundMe. Maybe you're gonna get in trouble for that, but you had to try. And I don't blame you.
Yeah, somebody said she could feed everybody in the cookout. Yeah, she, all the fish on her. Fish and chicken on her.
All right, so let's move into some Guess the Race, guys. Where's my music? Boom. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all podcast land, where you read or play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, the chat room plays along. And they're all races. All right. Let's go to our first story. Let me see what I got here. A rapper falls to death while filming a stunt on a plane's wing.
What?
Musician John James McMurray was walking on the wing of a small Cessna aircraft for a stunt in the music video. The Canadian rapper died while performing the stunt, which involved rapping while walking on the wing of a plane. British Columbia's Coroner Service says 34-year-old John James McMurray died Saturday while working with a team making videos of airplane stunts and parachuting in that province. McMurray's manager, Ryan Deschrochers, says the rapper had trained intensively for the stunt, but as he moved further out on the wing, the small Cessna went into a downward spiral. The manager says McMurray held onto the wing too long, and by the time he let go, he didn't have time to open his parachute. The plane and the pilot later landed safely. Guess the race.
Oh, as white as the snow he fell in.
All right, let's check the chat room. Definitely want to send that.
Oh, so he was on a moving plane.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought he was like on the wing and just tipped and fell. I was like, nah, it was up in the air. Wow.
Nope. He's out there living on a wing and a prayer.
He sure was.
Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. He was trying to join the 8 Mile High Club, white. White and stupid. Damn. White flight? No. Alabaster McTwinkle Toes.
Oh.
Catch me if you can, white. Slipped on some lean on a wing, white. Rabbit the rapper, white. This is some white shit. Tom Loose, white. The correct answer is Hillary, will you marry me? No, the correct answer is white. Man, you know he's white because that's not the way wings kill black people.
It sure ain't.
We die from eating them.
We sure do.
I guess
now you just said he fell on the inside of the plane and died. But I'd be like, okay, because, you know, niggas be on the inside of planes.
They say he was practicing, but it sounds like he just went out there and tried to wing it.
That's what happens.
That's him. But I mean, obviously before.
Oh yeah, mighty white.
Mm-hmm.
He was like fell off a wing of a plane. I was like, that ain't no nigga shit.
Yeah. How are they filming that?
Right?
Like, dude,
what a pro go? What the fuck is this?
Like, that's why they have studios.
That's why they have stuntmen.
Yeah, like the whole point is like, so you don't do that. Oh well. Fire chief's wife was arrested and accused of stealing $200,000 from the department.
Wow, your fave could never.
The wife of a Livingston Parish fire chief was arrested Monday after it was learned she had stolen more than $225,000 from her husband's department.
Don't worry about no fires. Let it burn. Let it burn.
According to the sheriff's office, 46-year-old Melissa Guthrie was arrested after she confessed to the theft to her husband, who was Chief Allen Guthrie. Guthrie. There you go. The investigation first began with Chief Guthrie. He called the sheriff's office to look into missing funds after evidence linked Melissa Guthrie to the crime. Deputies say she admitted to the theft, which date back to February 2017. Deputies say investigators found 29 checks, which appeared to have names that were forged. It was believed that she had been stealing the funds and depositing them into a personal family business account in order to keep that business afloat. Nigga, how much floating did it need? $225,000?
Right, and imagine the position you put your husband in. He was like, yes, bitch, you going to jail. I love you, but lock. Clank, clank, bitch.
Like, did you fucking keep it afloat or keep it drowning?
Right, and my thing, who knows? Like, you could have told me, we could have got help. You ain't have to steal it.
The chief released a statement. I know y'all enjoying the circus, but now he said... As you can imagine, my world.
I know y'all all wondering why we couldn't put the houses out this week.
I know a lot of y'all in burned houses are wondering. He's like, hey, look, don't judge. Those who live in burned houses should not judge.
I know y'all wondering why the fire hydrants didn't work.
As you can imagine, my world was turned upside down today. My wife confessed to me that she was taking money. Although difficult, I immediately did what I believe is the right thing for all LPFD number 8, my family. I call LPSO and I call for an independent financial review of LPFD8's finances. As many of you may already know, as chief, I do not handle any of the district's funds. We have a board for that. I will continue to do what I know is right and will continue to provide the best in fire protection for those in my unit. She was booked into the Livingston Parish Detention Center. She was later released on bond, which is probably money she got from. Anyway, race, Karen.
White. Wait a minute, it says it's repeat. Hold on.
What's
the
repeat?
I tried to put it in there, said it repeated. There you go.
Oh, okay, all right. So Karen says white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. White gave up his wife to save his job. White. I like how y'all are guessing the fire chief. I don't know his race. I only know the wife's race. Lily Delicate White. White. Looks like everyone's going with white on this one. All right, well, the correct answer is she was a white woman. And she would like to speak to y'all's manager.
Some people said black.
Ooh.
Two people.
Oh, I missed it. Okay, my bad. Let me give y'all booze. Sorry, Karen. There you go. Let's go to the bonus round, everyone. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race for the bonus round to guess the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2.
Woo-hoo!
Let's see how she does in the last one.
Hope I do good. Fingers crossed, y'all.
All right, we will see. Now this one, we're not guessing the woman's race, we're guessing the man's race. Okay, telling y'all that before we start. All right, this happened in North Texas. Olivia Kawaja said everything seemed relatively normal as she handled an Airbnb guest the key as she handled the Airbnb guest a keys to her apartment she shares with her sister. She locked the room up, invited a male friend over as a precaution, and left after she gave Leonard Jackson the keys to her apartment on October 11th. Okay, so far, so good.
Okay.
When she returned 4 hours later, she said Jackson was moving the stuff in her apartment around and had broken into her room. He stole $500, threw away all her photos of male friends, and ransacked her closet. I saw my door was cracked open. The lights were on. My closet had been gone through, she said. The cosmetic case where my sister keeps her cash was empty. Khawaja said she kicked Jackson out of the apartment and Richardson immediately contacted the police. Detective took a statement, but Khawaja said police told her they probably would not be able to arrest Jackson unless he admitted to the theft. What? Khawaja turned to the Airbnb for help. Someone told her the only way to reach someone who could help her was to fill out a conflict resolution form. If the situation wasn't independently resolved in 3 days, Airbnb would step in. Sergeant Kevin Perlich with Richardson Police said on October 17, Jackson was arrested in Dallas on a weapons and drug possession charge. He bonded out shortly after. Jackson continued to contact Khawaja. He texted her multiple times, asking her to come stay with him or saying he needed a place to stay. When she didn't respond, he messaged her through Airbnb, requesting to stay with her again. Khawaja called the Richardson detective again and said, who said police had done more digging and discovered Jackson had recently been arrested for harming the child. But he said they probably still wouldn't be able to do anything unless Jackson admitted to stealing the money. Airbnb finally responded to the request, but said that it did not cover cash losses and that if she wanted anything more to be done, she'd have to fill out the form again and wait another 3 days. Okay, I hate the victim blame. I don't know how anyone uses Airbnb, from the people who want to stay places and the people that fucking had, this is your house and just some motherfuckers in it. And then they can turn around and be like, we don't cover that. What?
Huh? I'm using your service.
Yo, they stole my, some cash out of my room. Yeah, well, I mean, that's strange to me too. Huh? Khawaja said a friend suggested trying to obtain a confession from Jackson by texting him October 20th. She responded to his text. I didn't want to, but I wasn't going, getting help, she said in the interview. I texted Leonard and said, I would have considered letting him stay if he hadn't stolen from me. He said, I just got out of jail. I want to see you. Khawaja called 911 and told police Jackson was coming to her apartment, but police said they couldn't send anyone unless he actually showed up. Sergeant Perlich said the department doesn't have the resources to send an officer to everyone's doorstep on the premise that someone might show up. Had Jackson been a threat to her before, certainly we would have sent someone there, but he left peacefully before and there was no indication he was a physical threat to her. Khawaja said she parked her car across the complex and waited for Jackson to come. Screenshots of text conversations with Jackson show him telling her he's on the way. In the text, Jackson said he was coming to clear up this big misunderstanding and said things such as, will you be my wife? I'm going to show you how much I appreciate you. I'm going to show you love. Do you got any condoms I can use? I mean, it's good to practice safe sex, but what would you be using the condoms for? Because this is about you stealing money from me, not us having sex. If you steal $500 from me, I'm not fucking you when you show up. When she saw Jackson show up at her door, she called the police again and they arrested him for trespassing. Yeah, I think she like parked in a car across the street and watched him. October 20th arrest report for Jackson was not available Thursday because it's part of an active investigation. Khawaja said police assured her that Jackson would be in jail for a while, but 24 hours later she received a message from him on Airbnb again. He had been released from Dallas County Jail on bond. When Khawaja called the detective to ask why he was out, he told her he did not know he had been released. See, this is the dangerous shit about domestic violence and stuff like this. The people call the police. Just call the police. The police don't even fucking keep up with this shit. They don't treat it seriously. Asked why someone didn't let me know, he said if we called someone every time someone got released, we'd always be on the phone. Oh, it was just too inconvenient. Perlich said that because police were only able to arrest Jackson on trespassing charge, which was a Class B misdemeanor, he was able to bond out fairly quickly. 2 weeks after her initial complaint, Airbnb removed his profile from the site. Oh, well, it was only 2 weeks he was on there, able to keep doing stuff. On Wednesday, Ben Bright with Airbnb Public Affairs said in an email where Airbnb's response to Khawaja's complaint was simply too slow and we are working to fully support our host. Perlich said part of the problem was Khawaja renting out a room in the first place. We got two young ladies renting out a room. It's not the best situation, he said. Usually when you're renting out a room that way, you're not there, but they were. It's not the best idea or the safest thing to be in an apartment with someone you don't know. Unsatisfied with the help she had received, Khawaja took her story to Twitter October 27th. As of Wednesday, her Twitter thread has 50,000 favorites. I did not expect it to explode the way it did, she said. Khadija said she's glad she posted a story on Twitter, however, because two other women came forward and said they also had negative experiences with Jackson. One woman told Khadija that Jackson stayed with her and then stalked her. The woman reported Jackson to Airbnb, but his profile was not removed. So they trying to act like we were too slow on this case. No, this case got enough attention. Other people reported him and y'all left him on there, and this is what happens because now he's menacing another woman. Another woman received a message from Jackson but saw a negative review the first woman posted about him and decided not to let him stay. After receiving thousands of comments on her Twitter thread, Khadija also realized how many times a story like hers ends much worse. I'm seeing all these other women comment and say, I had a similar experience but someone died. I realized how lucky I am to be alive. I was really scared while it was happening, but I'm so used to being harassed like most women are that it didn't hit me that I could die this time.
Right.
She was frustrated to receive other comments that ultimately blamed her for the whole situation, telling her she should have done things differently. I didn't like when people focus on what a victim should have done better. There's always something a victim could have done better. If you get hit by a car, you could have been more aware of your surroundings. But no one ever focused on how the abuser should have not abused. Yeah, of course. In this statement, Bright with Airbnb said, Khadija's situation was rare. This reported behavior is aberrant. I mean, how rare? I mean, if it was so rare, then how come he was still on there after the first time?
That's not true. It happens a lot.
Yeah, and even if it is rare, so? You didn't handle this one right, and it's rare. So what, it's got to happen all the time for y'all come up with something?
Right.
Like, that's ridiculous.
And they going as rare, but a lot of times people don't report it. How many people don't report it to you?
Too much of this shit sounds like the honor system to me. And right. People don't have a lot of honor. Khadija also wanted to make it clear she was not trying to blame the police. They were all very kind to me, they just were not very efficient. Shade, but I believe it. Perlich said Jackson was not in custody as of Thursday, but a warrant was out for his arrest on theft charges. Oh, now is a warrant out? My God. Guess the race of, what was his first? Leonard, was it Jackson?
Black.
Yeah, Leonard Jackson.
Black.
Karen's going black. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's check the chat room and see what they think Leonard Jackson's race is. He is exhibit A that black men are the white men of black people. Black, homosexual black. Niggas is crazy. Black and black. and Blincell. Oh, Blincell. It's a good one, Mwangangi. Embarrassment to the ancestors. The correct answer is black. He's black. No one missed it. And that's his picture there. He looked like mystical a little bit to me, which is, I guess, under the circumstances, even scarier. Is it showing on screen or no? All right. And
that
then
looked like a hotel pic.
Yeah, and then this is her. So yeah, that could have been worse, man. Right. Could have been way worse.
She's beautiful.
Oh yeah, I just do not understand. I don't understand Airbnb as a concept because it seems so dangerous. It's so unregulated and they seem like they're not very reactionary, and it's just, you can be staying in a racist person's house, someone can use the service to be racist. It's so many horror stories, and I'm sure that it's not like hotels are have no horror stories, but there's some level of chain of command to where you can like get things done. This shit just seems like the Wild West, man. Good grief. I'm glad she's all right, but like, that dude now knows where you stay and was in your house.
Right.
You know, like,
and most people can't just pack up and move.
Right. My goodness, man. The gig economy is trash. All right, last thing. A performer accidentally stabs himself with 13 swords during a stunt.
Oh!
What in the Monty Python is going on here? A sword swallower sideshow stunt went horribly wrong.
She was like, stick yourself.
A sword swallower sideshow stunt went horribly wrong when he accidentally stabbed his throat with 13 swords at once.
Woo!
Did it wrong. Yeah, so that's a job you don't want to hear oops during, right?
Come on.
Oops. Chris Steele, whose stage name is Captain Steele.
His throat wouldn't steal.
Was in an Atlanta nightclub Wednesday performing his shtick of shoving a baker's dozen's blades down his gullet and then twisting them. But inadvertently, he impaled himself on the weapons in the process. 13 swords traveled about 16 inches deep into my chest cavity, he told the outlet from a hospital bed. He managed to miss all his vital organs, but still wound up in the hospital with internal bleeding. Like a bitch. No, I'm just kidding. Can you imagine? Oh, that's it? You almost killed yourself with a sword. Your own sword ratchetness. Steele has been performing his act for a decade and always warns audiences that things could go south. You say it all the time. You know the possibilities out there. And then when it happens, you know how dangerous and bad it could be. Is that what it takes? I think I know sticking a sword down my throat could be dangerous and I don't have to do it. Newsflash, everyone. I've never stuck a sword down my throat and I know it's dangerous.
Come on.
But I guess some people have to learn from experience. Next week, he'll be burning himself with cigarettes. He holds the record for the heaviest sword swallowed and most swords swallowed underwater.
And shit, now underwater?
And now he holds the record for most times stabbed with a sword since Jon Snow.
Come on.
All right, guys, we will talk to you probably Wednesday, maybe tomorrow. Depends on how we feel. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.